Oh, my love, look and see the sun rising from the river. Nature's miracle once more will light the world. But this light is not for those men still lost in an old black shadow.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy, or are you gonna bite?
Yeah, yeah.
There are several sacred things in this world that you don't ever mess with. One of them happens to be another man's fries. Now you remember that, and you'll live a long and healthy life.
Just us, the cameras, and those wonderful people out there in the dark.
Science fiction, the wave of the future.
I wonder where a guy, an everyday Joe like myself, could find a little action.
Bye.
Yeah.
Welcome to Comic-Con's podcast, a geek podcast for the rest of us. Who are the motherfucking rest of us? Adjusting microphones, that's who. My name is Nick Stevens, and I am your host. But in a way, aren't we all appreciating a young Kevin Costner, but grateful for an old Kevin Costner? What do I mean by that? Well, I'll tell you, watching that Yellowstone with the wife, and I have to say, that Costner, I love that Costner as the older, grittier, crackly, scraggly, just an old man Costner, you know? Old man Costner sitting on his ranch. Everything annoys him. Nothing really makes him smile, except, of course, the occasional scotch in a glass. These old bastards, they just drink scotch in a glass. You know, even Jack Palance in Batman 89, oh, shit! He had his fucking scotch a glass, you know? What? He had his glass of scotch. They all do, like all the old cool guys, you know? You can't walk around as like a 20-something-year-old guy in a shirt and tie or even in a set of overalls and just pour yourself a little glass of scotch. No, you got to be an older guy who's been through it all, whether you're an old banker or an old farmer or an old rancher like Kevin Costner. But he wasn't always admirable, even though his box office scores from over the last few decades say otherwise. Man, I went back through that Untouchables recently. He's probably one of the worst actors in that whole goddamn movie. Like, he is horrible in that movie. He does what he has to do. But you watch it for Sean Connery. You watch it for Sean Connery. There was like a flare there. Did you hear that? But you watch it for Sean Connery. Sean Connery. Sean. Canary. Sean Connery. You watch it for Sean Connery. He's in the church with Kevin Costner. And they're like, what are you prepared to do? But what are you prepared to do? But what are you prepared to do? That's not that gruffly. It's what are you prepared to do? What are you prepared to do? What are you prepared to do? It's Richard Harris. He's come back from the dead to ask you, Kevin Costner, what are you prepared to do? Or Liam Neeson, he'd come in like fucking Ra's al Ghul style. You know I gotta do it because I'm on the mic. He's gotta come in like this. But what are you prepared to do, Costner? He played a real character. Can we get the character's name?
But what are you prepared to do, Bruce?
It's not Bruce. His name's not Bruce.
Bruce, you are afraid, but not of me. Tell us, Mr. Wayne, what do you fear?
But seriously, man, you watch that young Costner. He's not even good in fucking Prince of Thieves. I don't care. I said it. Somebody had to say it. He's not a good actor in those older movies. He's just that guy that kind of shows up and stumbles around while everybody else carries the movie. Point in reference, Morgan Freeman, Alan Rickman. They carried fucking Prince of Thieves. It was a great, fun movie because when it came out, it was like action-packed. You had that fucking CGI shot of the arrow splitting the other arrow, and it's like, oh shit, you know. You had the fucking score, da da da, blah da 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 da. You had Brian fucking Adams, "Everything I Do," you know. But now I'm watching him years later in that fucking Yellowstone, and I know I'm behind. I'm just now getting immersed. I'm in like midway in season two. Me and the wife are watching it, which means we watch about 30 minutes every night and go to bed. So we're kind of creeping through it, but it's solid, and he's great in it. Even though he's like the central focus, he's like the obvious patriarch and the kind of the hearth of the show, or the hearth of the show, or the, you know, the wreath, if you will. And everybody else is kind of just around him. And they're great too. You know, Beth Dutton is great in it. I don't remember any of these other actors' names. Well, I got Wes Bentley. Wes Bentley is great. You know, the guy who plays Rip is great. Can't remember his name. Not going to look it up. Why bother? But that Costner, like, he did other shit that I loved back in the day. It's just, I rewatch older stuff with him, and I'm just not as impressed. I'm like, wow, he really wasn't, especially that Untouchables. He is no bueno. He's no bueno in that. Go back, watch it. Brian De Palma directed. You got a young Andy Garcia showing up for a good time. Who else? Obviously fucking De Niro, killing it. Probably over the top, but that's what had to be done. It's a weird movie because you watch it now and it's got Brian De Palma's like cinematography taste in there, right? Like with some of the shots in the cathedral and the rooftop fight scene. You know, there's some gorgeous shots in that movie, but you go back and watch and it's like, it's all just, you're watching for Connery. You're watching for him. Just like you watch that Batman Begins for that fucking Liam Neeson. On that fucking ice cliff, you see Liam training a young Bruce Wayne played by the awesome Christian Bale. But let's be real, Christian Bale was awesome in those movies, but it could have been somebody else. It could have been somebody else. It's not like you look at the Batman movies, the Nolan trilogy at least, you don't look at those and go, no, it had to be Bale. It couldn't have been anybody but Bale. I love Bale. Bale's amazing. I love Bale. You can watch him in a million things, like Out of the Furnace, The Fucking Machinist, fucking even Equilibrium. He's a phenomenal actor. American Psycho. But it didn't have to be him. The villains of the Batman universe, that's where the rubber meets the road. Is that a saying? I think it is. I don't know if it's one of my foreign Italian sayings, but I think that's right. That's where the rubber, it touches the road. When you watch the Batman Begins, you watch it for Liam Neeson. You know? Because you really are. Because when he's like, the training is nothing. The will is everything. The will to act. That's exactly what we're talking about. You go back to Connery. Are you prepared to do what you have to do? Are you prepared to do what you have to do? The penitent man shall pass. The penitent man shall pass. Don't worry about it. Anyway, I'm not here to wax rhapsodically about Kevin Costner's filmography, although I do love him in that Man of Steel. I got to say that one more time. If I haven't said it enough, I love him as Pa Kent. And for my money, I don't know if it gets any better when he's talking to Superman on that cliff. You know, Superman sees him. It's like a vision. And I think that's actually Batman v Superman, where he sees his father. Yeah, he sees Kevin Costner, and Kevin Costner tells that story. He sees his dad up there digging, burying something, God knows. And it's clearly a vision, because we know his dad's dead. But he sees him on the top of the mountain.
Something in it. We men in Kansas live on a pancake, so we come to the mountains. I remember one season the water came bad. I couldn't have been 12. Dad had out the shovels, and we went at it all night. We worked till I think I fainted, but we managed to stop the water. We saved the farm. Your grandma baked me cake, said I was a hero. Later that day, we found out blocked the water all right. We sent it upstream. The whole Lang farm washed away. While I ate my hero cake, their horses were drowning.
Ugh.
I used to hear him wailing in my sleep.
God damn. I mean, come on. He's just that guy. He just shows up as an old man, and he's fantastic. Now, I realize I could have played you a clip from Yellowstone, but we've all, you know, come on. Why do that when I could showcase his performance as Pa Kent? You know? Can you ever get a better Pa Kent? I haven't seen it. Not yet, anyway. unless they actually cast Kurt Russell. I keep hearing rumors about that, that James Gunn might bring Kurt Russell in to play Pa Kent in his new Superman movie. And I'm all for it because I fucking love that Russell, you know? That Russell and that Costner, especially later Russell and later Costner, they can't do any fucking wrong.
But I must warn you of something. You know how people say, you're okay in my book, or in my book, that's no good. Well, I actually have a book.
Oh, of course he's got a book. Everybody he meets goes in that book.
And now I've met you, and you're going in the book.
You're going in the book. We didn't come here today or this afternoon or even this evening to discuss Russell or Costner or any of those guys. We came here to talk about one man and one man only to start things off. And that's Pedro fucking Pascal. And when somebody announces that they're going to fucking cast the head honcho of the Fantastic Four, El Cuatro del Fantástico, Pedro Pascal playing Reed Richards himself, I got to say, I don't really like this casting. I fucking love that casting. You know what I mean? Why do I love this casting? But it's Pedro Pascal. Reed Richards isn't Hispanic. Go fucking jump off a goddamn cliff. Who the fuck cares? Anybody can play these fucking characters. It doesn't fucking matter. It's just a goddamn comic book. Okay? And the people that are getting so pissed off over this shit, they clearly don't read comics to begin with. Because people want like, oh no, but Reed Richards is like a fucking scientist and brainy. Pedro's not brainy. He's an actor. He's an actor. Do you think he's a real Mandalorian too, you fucks? God damn. Anybody can play these roles. Just like anybody could have played Batman in Nolan's trilogy, but they got Bale and it was great. Sure, we didn't like his voice. And in retrospect, the dust settles and we're like, oh, that Batman voice could have been a little tweaked. Okay, fine. But we all go back to those Nolan movies. We all keep coming back. And it's not really because of Bale. Bale kills it, though, especially as Bruce. But it's because of the other characters, the overall storyline and the music and the tone. It's all of that. And that's what I think is going to happen with this Fantastic Four movie. If done right, they can just make it fun, adventurous, kind of silly. Because look, we don't need a serious Fantastic Four. We don't need a gritty Fantastic Four. We got a stretchy guy, a woman who turns invisible, a guy who literally says fucking flame on, you know? Flame on! Johnny Storm, you know? Sue Storm, Reed Richards, and of course, Ben Grimm, the Thing. Which, again, anybody can definitely play the Thing. Although I have to say, if I have any dog in the fight, just get old fucking Ray Donovan himself to show up for the casting call. Let Liev Schreiber, even if he doesn't play Ben Grimm, he can just do the voice of the Thing. Can you imagine a fucking Ray Donovan saying, it's fucking clobbering time? Can you believe, yeah, and drop the F-bomb. They just make it rated R. It's fucking clobbering time. It's fucking clobbering time over here. You got a fucking rocket going into space. I'm fucking bombarded by fucking cosmic rays. I turn into a fucking thing. It's fucking clobbering time. I might have gone a little heavy with the accent there. I think Ray Donovan was a Bostonian, not really a fucking New Yorker. But all I can do is Italian. It's fucking clobbering time, huh? So go park your car up the road. It's kind of a blend of two. I don't know. The point is, it's fine all around. It's just fine. It doesn't fucking matter in the long run. So why do we care? You know, people are just really fucking losing their minds out there. And I guess that's what triggers me. I'm like, who the fuck? It's all in my feed. And so I share stuff and then people comment on my shit. I'm like, I don't know. How about this for a fucking turn of events? Galactus, all right? The Devourer of Worlds, Galactus. All right? If you don't know your googs, large guy with a funny purple helmet. Maybe not the immediate villain of the Fantastic Four movie, but rumored to be in it in some capacity. And the other rumor attached to this is that Javier Bardem is going to be playing him. Now, look, I fucking love Javier Bardem. And I know Galactus has never been specified to be of any ethnicity. But I got to say this again, folks, it doesn't fucking matter. And also, shout out to my own podcast, Because I'm pretty sure a couple weeks ago, before this rumor even came about, I was fucking fan casting Javier Bardem anyway. Call it. Call it. I'll send my herald, the Silver Surfer, and he will tell your world that I will destroy your world. I will devour your world. Okay, I'm not the best Javier Bardem impressionist, okay? But I'm trying, okay? I'm really trying to just try out some voices here. No, I think that's great, dude. He's a great villain. He was a great Bond villain. He was fantastic in No Country for Old Men. Even when he's not playing a bad guy, he's still kind of fucked up, right? Like that movie Mother. Remember that movie Mother with Jennifer Lawrence? He was just the husband, a much older husband, but still the husband. And he wasn't like a bad guy per se. He was kind of negligent. And then I think the whole moral of the story was a fucking, it was a Darren Aronofsky film. So of course there was this deep analysis on the human condition and morality and death. And I think overall it was supposed to be like a nature versus humanity kind of storyline where like man is tempted by their very desires to just destroy everything. And Javier Bardem was just a subject of that temptation, right? I think fucking Michelle Pfeiffer showed up for a good time and she got her panties wet, which again, you know, that's always a win, you know? Love that Pfeiffer. Love that Pfeiffer. Losing track here. Where are we going? Oh, yeah. So Javier Bardem and Galactus. And then this is the kicker. This is another one, too. Rumor has it, the Silver Surfer himself, the Herald of Galactus, the entity that warns the planets that Galactus is coming, or I guess not even warns in some capacity, although he does Earth because he falls for Sue Storm and empathizes with her. He tells the Fantastic Four that, you know, Galactus is coming. Read some books. You'll find it there. But he goes in advance, like he's the Herald. So he goes, you know, light years sometimes, right? To announce Galactus is coming and also return back to Galactus and say, this world is prepared. Why does he do this? Well, he just might have happened to have been a guy named Norrin Rad, a regular old space guy on a planet. And in exchange for sparing his planet and his homeworld, he agreed to become Galactus's herald. This is comics, kids. This is comics. Don't ever say we never talk about comics on this show. It happens. And Galactus agrees and says, okay, I'll give you the cosmic powers to be my herald, a Silver Surfer. Why a surfer, you might ask? Because it was written in the 60s. And it's got that ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And of course, Stan Lee, being Stan Lee, is like, hey, Jack Kirby, can you just draw me a guy on a fucking surfboard? You know, because that's cool, 60s. And he drew a silver guy on a surfboard, hence Silver Surfer. Love that alliteration. That's how you get your best characters. Big Barda. Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four, Green Goblin, you know. The Silver Surfer is rumored to be in this movie as well. And rumor has it that this character will be a female, a woman, a woman. And everybody's lost their minds, right? Everyone's online like, oh, fuck this woke shit. Why's it got to be a woman? Well, actually, there was at some point a female Silver Surfer. So again, this is an example of people getting mad that don't read comics. Okay, there was. Okay, here's where I'm going to push up the glasses and just be a nerd. Just be a fucking nerd for you guys, okay? Again, comics, kids. On Earth 829, not to be confused with the Earth 616, which is, I believe, the Earth continuity that we're going with for the MCU. Again, why? There was a female Herald of Galactus, okay? And yes, she was a Silver Surfer. And yes, her name is Juno. Okay? She's single. I like how it gives me her marital status. She's single, apparently. This is off the Marvel database. This is like the Bible of the Marvel universe, okay? And she's living, and she's a current character. I think this Earth is the Miles Morales Earth, but I could be wrong. Again, I don't give a fuck. I read comics, and I love this shit because I love talking about it, and I love checking out, you know, different storylines and reading different comics and checking out different shows and movies. And I just absorb it all because I love the fantasy world. I love all of it, right? I don't give a fuck if Silver Surfer is voiced by Larry Fishburne or played by Larry Fishburne. I don't give a fuck if Silver Surfer is played by a woman or voiced by a woman. Although I will have to say that Larry Fishburne Silver Surfer is pretty fucking phenomenal. Like, he did the voice in the early 2000s Fantastic Four movie. And say what you will about those movies, they were fun. They were pretty perfect. They had to be exactly what they were. Fantastic Four movies. Like, at Fantastic Four is a fun, you know, borderline campy comic, you know, where every fucking week you read a new Fantastic Four issue, Reed Richards is balancing his work and his research with being a good and loving and doting husband to Sue Storm, while also balancing his relationship with his brother-in-law, Johnny Storm, who's careless and kind of reckless and adventurous and trying to go out on the red carpets in Hollywood and pick up a few supermodels. And then you got Ben Grimm, Reed Richards' best friend, who's not necessarily a scientist, but a hell of a pilot, trapped in a big orange rock body. So he carries that resentment, you know? So you have some good context there for people that were accidentally thrust into a situation. They get these crazy powers, but they're not shunned away like the X-Men or mutants. Like, New York loves them. The world loves them. They're celebrated the world over. Even though Ben Grimm is technically terrifying, he's seen standing next to Sue Storm, who's beautiful, and Reed Richards, who's super smart. He's like the Earth's leading scientist, you know? Like, predominant scientist on astrophysics, on interdimensional time travel, on all of it, right? So it'd be like Stephen Hawking starting a fucking superhero team. Nobody would fucking bat an eye. They'd be like, wow, Stephen Hawking is a fucking genius. And let's say Carl Sagan's alive and he's on the team too. Fuck it. And then you could have an Ezra Miller on the team. Because they'd be like, well, Stephen Hawking's on the team. It doesn't matter if Ezra Miller's on it. You know? Or a Lindsay Lohan circa late 90s, early 2000s when she was on drugs and falling out of cars, exposing her puss. You know, it really wouldn't matter. Just like it doesn't matter that Silver Surfer might be a female in this new movie. And to boot, played by the Anya Taylor-Joy. Anya Taylor-Joy. She's a great actress. Loved her in that Chess Gambit movie, or Gambit, Games Gambit, Chess Gambit, Gambit of the Chess. Queen's Gambit, that's what it was. My wife likes to point out that she makes the same face in all her movies. And I have also noticed that face has become increasingly harder to look at after seeing all the work she's done to it. I feel like she was already very pretty when she came on the scene. And I don't know what this new trend is with like younger women, like getting the lip thing and the cheek sucked in thing and the chin tuck thing when they're not even hitting middle age. Like it's kind of bizarre to me, but that aside, I don't give a fuck. That's her own decision. And I actually really loved her in that New Mutants movie. That movie was horrible, but I thought she played magic, expertly. I thought she was a fantastic choice for that role. And I think she should in some capacity, maybe bring it back someday. In fact, the only reason why I don't want her in this Fantastic Four movie is because I want her to come back as Magic with a K. But I'm here for it, man. Fuck it. It doesn't fucking matter. It really doesn't fucking matter. It's one of those things where when you put new people into roles, right? People from different cultures and backgrounds or sexes or ethnicities, you kind of level the playing field a little bit, right? You kind of make it so that we have more representation. And why be fucking pissed off about that? You know what I'm saying? Now look, if you fucking made Reed Richards gay and there was no Sue Storm and then no Johnny Storm and it was just Reed Richards and another gay guy, that might be a little weird, right? Because you'd change up the whole team. I was like, well, then it's just the Fantastic Duo and we already had that duo. You know what I'm saying? At least the ambiguous version, you know? So, I mean, like, it's not like you're changing the characters in any way. You're just casting these actors in them. And Pedro Pascal's a great actor. Javier Bardem's a great actor. Now, whoever they pick for Dr. Doom, I don't know. I've heard Mads Mikkelsen, great choice. I've heard Cillian Murphy, another great choice. Honestly, whoever they pick, it'll be fine. I thought the cast in the original Fantastic Four was fine. I think Jessica Alba was a great Sue Storm. I think Chris Evans was a fantastic Johnny Storm. That Eon Griffinfold or Gryffindor guy who played Reed Richards, I thought he was great. And of course, fucking S.H.I.E.L.D. or Kamish as the Thing. Come on now. But let me know your thoughts. Let me know if you got a fan cast out there for the fan fucking Tastic Four. I just don't care. But we need a win, right? We need a win. And what do I mean by win? We just need a good, solid story for this movie to pull it off. And I think it could be a good launching pad for Kang Dynasty, for Secret Wars. I don't think they should shut Kang out just yet. I don't care what happens with Jonathan Majors and his court case and all his personal troubles. Whatever the fuck comes out of that, I think we should still have a Kang villain or at least a Kang, we should have some sort of Kang battle with the Avengers at some point, or with at least some of the Avengers. You know what I mean? Not just Ant-Man and some ants. I like Quantumania, but I feel like we just need more from Kang before we just fucking call it quits. And we need a win. We need a win because that Marvels, man, I liked the movie, but it's not doing well. Like, I think it's just barely past 180 mil, and that's globally. And the movie had at least $200 to $250 in budget and marketing. So it's not a success. It's like Marvel's first real official flop, by what a flop standard is. And actually, I just read this the other day. Every $200 million budget movie, not just Marvel movies or DC, every $200 million budget movie or anything in that ballpark, almost every single one of them has failed in 2023. The only one to make a profit, the only $200-plus million movie to make a profit was Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And the only reason why I can speculate as to why that might be is because of the characters and James Gunn. Like, he gave us two previous movies where we fell in love with these characters. We watched them grow over two movies and we cared about them. And I'm thinking, that's what people want. And yeah, there's some fatigue. People are getting a little tired of people flying around in capes. But then I'm like, nah, dude, because people love the boys. It's a different take and you fell in love with the characters. And we're rooting for them. Like, we're rooting for Butcher. You know what I'm saying? To take out these fucking maniacs to hopefully one day beat Homelander. God, I almost called him Omni-Man. But Omni-Man, that's another great example. Like, people love Invincible. I love this new season of Invincible. If you haven't watched it, you gotta watch it. You googs, kids. It's a fucking animated show on Prime. It's a fucking, 40 to 45 minute episodes. But the pacing and the writing is so good. And it's just a fresh take on that whole world. And we care, again, we care about the characters. We care what happens to Invincible, you know? We care what happens to Omni-Man. We care what happens to the characters in that world. And just like we cared about Guardians of the Galaxy, we cared about all those characters. I fucking cried because a goddamn raccoon's friends died. Okay, that little fucking rocket got me teary. Then he loses his friends, spoilers, and I'm fucking bawling. I've seen the movie twice in theaters. Haven't watched it since it dropped on the Plus. I just canceled my Plus, so I guess I'll be rewatching it another way. But just solid, man. Just solid storytelling. We just need original, solid shit. And if it's not an original premise, we just need a fresh take on an adopted premise. So if it's going to be a new comic book movie, we need that. I got to say, man, that Aquaman 2 trailer, it doesn't look bad. But I feel like I've seen the movie a million times before. You know what I mean? And the Marvels, it wasn't a bad movie. But again, we've seen a lot of that movie before. Like, the only difference is it has an all-female cast, but we've seen a lot of the same tropes and the same kind of storytelling devices. But now we're going to get X-Men, apparently. We got a little taste of that fucking Kelsey Grammer beast. Now everyone's coming, myself included, to the party and in our pants. But what about that Thor 5? Everyone's like, hey, Thor, love and thunder. Too much love, not enough thunder. Not enough thunder. They want a serious Thor. They want a serious Thor movie. Let me tell you something. The first Thor really wasn't that fucking serious. He fought ice giants. The second Thor, he fought fucking elves. He showed up in Avengers and fought the Hulk. Okay? Tony Stark said, nice swing, Point Break. You know what I mean? Also, in the comics, he flies over a rainbow bridge with a cape. He's a god from another fucking realm in space. A Norse god with powers, with strength. He wields a hammer that only he can hold, or Vision, or anybody else that's worthy. Even though Vision was so worthy, he was annihilated in Infinity War, but that's neither here nor there. How does a robot that's worthy of holding Thor's hammer and just a straight up badass when it comes to fighting all these fucking robots, he can't take on one fucking acolyte of Thanos? Like, you get stabbed. Okay, maybe you didn't see it coming. But then you're just weak sauce the rest of the movie. But then we see you go full fucking White Vision in WandaVision. And you're a badass. But then you disappear and we don't see you for 10 years. Anybody that wants a gritty, like, dark, realistic Thor movie, they've definitely never read a comic. And here's why. Thor has fucking goats. okay? Like, Thor really has goats. Like, space goats. Okay? That's ridiculous. And people loved Ragnarok because it was just crazy and insane and action-packed and but fun, and there were jokes and bright colors, and he got to fight Hulk on Sakaar, and there was the awesome Led Zeppelin music. Like, nobody batted an eye. But then he does the splits in Love and Thunder, and everyone's like, that's a little too cheesy. Listen, I like my space Norse gods to be a little bit more dark and gritty. Go fuck yourself. But the rumor on the street is Gareth Edwards. That's right. Gareth Edwards, the man who gave us the Creator. Which, by the way, if you haven't heard my rant about the Creator, check out the Patreons. Now's an excellent time to become a patron. Go to the Patreon page, Comic-Con's podcast on Patreon. Become a member, subscribe. You get extra content every week. Or at least once a month. I try my best. But Gareth Edwards, he also did Rogue One. He's the rumored director on this. How the fuck, can you imagine Gareth Edwards doing a fucking Thor movie? Like, you know, you already know how I feel about his directing style with the scale and what he does with those fucking Star Destroyer ships and fucking Rogue One and what he did with Godzilla and Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Dude, he would destroy. Give him any Marvel movie. Shit, give him Fantastic Four. Sorry, Matt Shackman. Just take a break. Sit this one out. Give it to Gareth. God damn. Dude, take my money. I hope that's true. I hope that's true. I hope all these rumors are true. I hope all the casting rumors I've heard about Fantastic Four. I hope Gareth Edwards is doing a darker Thor movie. Because I listened to an interview with Taika Waititi, and he was on the Smartless podcast. People clipped this one, too, and they took it way out of proportion. He said he didn't really know that much about Thor. He read a few comics. He thought it was kind of cheesy. But then he got offered a chance to direct a movie. He looked it back into the character, and he thought maybe he could give it a fresh take and make it kind of fun and maybe bring some of the elements that he remembered experiencing when he first watched, like, Star Wars when he was a kid. And, you know, I think, like, people that take that out of context, like, he didn't even know the character before he directed the movie. Do you really fucking think most of these directors have a fucking vivid knowledge detail on all these characters? And I'm not talking about James Gunn. James Gunn is kind of the exception to the rule because he really genuinely knows the characters. He's read comics. But, like, take the Russo brothers. Do you think they grew up fucking reading Avengers comics? And I don't know. Maybe they did. But I guarantee you they weren't fucking poring over page after page after page, you know, thinking, well, maybe we should put Warlock in Infinity War. No, they just made us a fun fucking movie. You know what I mean? Like, Sam Raimi is a wonderful filmmaker, right? He made a fun Doctor Strange movie. I don't know if he grew up reading comics. He made the Spider-Man movies. He made those pretty good. You know, I don't think Tim Burton grew up reading a lot of Batman, but made Batman fucking 89. You know, that's right. Batman fucking 89. Because he's fucking the year 1989, which he did. He came all over that year. Batmania out the fucking ass. I'm just saying, guys, like, just fucking relax. It's just fucking fiction, babies. Oh, I'm a little fired up over here. I think I need to take a little chill pill. I did read that they're doing a boy spinoff with Diego Luna and Gael Garcia. And I was thinking to myself out loud, well, I guess they're going to eat tu mama también the fucker. Let's read some comments, okay? Pedro Pascal will officially star as Reed Richards in the MCU's Fantastic Four. Why? Blaze O Glory says, why? He looks nothing like him. He's in everything and he's starting to have the Chris Pratt effect. Also, Reed Richards isn't Hispanic, FYI. No shit. David Nakayama, great comic book artist, and I love all your work, sir. Great. He's been excellent in literally everything. My thoughts exactly. Why would anybody hate on this? Somebody says, bring back John Krasinski. I love Pedro Pascal, but this role doesn't suit him. I don't know why not. Why? He looks nothing like him. Remember when folks were like, RDJ can't play Iron Man? The guy is washed up, only for him to blow away the role. That's also true. Might as well cast The Rock as the Thing while you're at it. Why the fuck would you leap to that goddamn conclusion? But I wouldn't put it past him.
Bardem versus Pascal. What the fuck? No, thank you. I honestly, as a Latino male, would prefer two white guys and more comic accurate. Jesus Christ. So look, it doesn't fucking matter, guys. None of this matters. Just remember, it's just fucking fiction. These are movies based, keyword is based, on these comics. And it's just here to entertain us, right? It's just here to distract us from all the horrors of the world, you know, and all the anxieties of the world. And I want to remind you guys something, you know. Some folks didn't wake up today. Some people didn't wake up today. And it could always be fucking worse, you know? That got thick quick. You got thick quick. So did this podcast. All right, listen, everything we said on this show is just a fiction, okay? It's just a fiction. Don't take it seriously. Life is good. Life is fan-fucking-tastic, all right? Even if you get a female Silver Surfer. And look, if you do get a female Silver Surfer, maybe we'll see a little nippy. Maybe we'll see a little nippy on the silver titty, huh? Those titties, they so silvery, but we got a little nippy coming out of the titty. No, maybe not. You don't even think if James Cameron landed his, T-1000 Liquid Terminator FX, we'd get a little nipplage poking through? Maybe? I don't know. Just give her a surfboard, though. That's my only request. Give her a surfboard, and just, you know, don't give her any clothes. Just make her all silver, so that when she squats on the surfboard, we can get a nice undercarriage camera angle showing off all the goods. And then just have Liev Schreiber's thing come up and say, "It's fucking clobbering time." What are you going to clobber? I want to clobber that pussy. That's right. Just fiction. One rock guy fucking
okay, peace out.